Amen. I'm glad to be here. Thank you for being in this pulpit. I know Brother Ron doesn't take it lightly. Just let you and everybody here. And I take that as a great honor. Thank you, Brother Ron. Let me explain to you about Deep East Texas, if I can, just a little bit. We was over there yesterday having lunch, and we said something about East Texas. And Brother Tom said something about Houston. And I said, well, we live in East Texas. He said, I thought Houston was East Texas. And of course, my wife grew up in Houston. She thinks Houston's a good place. And she agreed that, geographically speaking, Houston's in East Texas. But East Texas don't really begin till you get all the way nearly to Nacogdoches. And everything else in that is city. If you get up towards Nacogdoches and beyond, you're getting to deep. When you get all the way to Carthage, Texas, you're not just in East Texas. You're in Deep East Texas. If you go any deeper than that, you go into Louisiana. So that's why it's Deep East Texas. Well, unless you go up towards Arkansas and you go another 100 miles, well, you're still in Deep East Texas. But here we are. I'm geographically challenged anyway. When I was a boy, we used to go to Tenny Hawk. Anybody don't know anything about Tenny Hawk, you might remember Tex Ritter. And he come up with a song called Tenny Hawk, Timpson, Bobo, and Black. And I grew up in Houston as a boy, but we'd go for home. Tenny Hawk was our home. We'd go home. Mama said, let's go home, and we'd go to Tenny Hawk. After I'd been married and working a long time, these guys would be talking about going to places like Zawataneho. I don't even, I can't even say that. You ever been to Cozumel? Is that how you say it? I said, is that between Houston and Tenny Hawk? And of course they'd say no. I said, well, I hadn't been there. I've been from here to Tenny Hawk and back. And that's probably why most of you don't know me. I hadn't been far away from there either, by the way. I have been a place or two, but not a whole lot. I've been here once. Twice, maybe. Enjoyed it. That's been great. I've had the great privilege of being over in Hector, Arkansas. That's near Russellville, and a little camp meeting this past weekend. And we were going to drive home on Saturday and then drive back up here on Monday. One of the ladies in our church said, just stay over. I don't know if she just didn't want me there to preach or get a break or what, but we did, and we're glad we got to come over. I love Brother Tom Hayes. And I was wanting to come anyway because I knew he was here, and I just wanted to come just because he was here in a meeting during the week. And I love Brother Tom. I love Brother David Parker. Brother David Parker is my most all-time favorite male vocalist, bar none. Even I like him. If I had to choose between him and Tom Hayes, I'd choose Brother David Parker because he's my favorite. And I love him. And it'd be a hard choice, but that's what I'd do. And I love Brother David. But I've learned to love Brother Ron Lovins. I like him. I like everything about him. No, it wasn't hard. It wasn't hard at all. In fact, it was very... He's made it easy. Now, he's loved me, but that's hard. That's another story. Now, see, my wife agreed with that. I want to preach to you from the book of Colossians, chapter number 1, beginning with verse number 12, on this subject, being delivered from darkness. So if you have your Bibles open, and you can and you will, please stand, and I'm going to read verse 12 through 23. This is what the Bible said. By the way, I stay with the real Bible. It's called the Old King James Version. And I do not apologize for that. I'm a King James-ist, if you will. The Bible says, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, That's hard, isn't it? The firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created that are in heaven, and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. And you, that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. If you continue in the faith grounded and settled, be not moved away from the hope of the gospel which ye have heard, and was preached unto every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the Bible, the Word of God. My heart's desire is you'd help us with it. I need help to make a sensible presentation. Father, we need help to hear it and make application in our own hearts and lives. And Father, we need help to bring honor and glory to you. That's our desire. We'll give you the praise for what you do. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. I had 3 points and a poem. I just know one poem. It's the only poem I've ever learned, and I've remembered it all of my days since the 8th grade. There's a lot of stories about, I tell a lot of stories about my school time. I was in the 8th grade one time. You say, well, how many was in the others? We won't get into that right now. But this is what I learned, and this is what I remember from my 8th grade class, my poem. This is what it is. As a beauty, I'm not a great star. And pretty, I'm not by far. But my face, I don't mind it. It's because I'm behind it. It's you in the front that I draw. What has that got to do with your message? Nothing, but that's the only poem I know. I try to make sure people remember my poem. I know that poem. The other day when I was over in that camp, after I recited my poem, I read a song that I heard the Higginbotham sing. I'm not going to do it because I'm limited in my time. But I love the song, It's Punny. What I mean by that is, it's punny. It makes lots of puns intended. And the title of the song is, You Can't Get Blood from a Turnip. I'd sing it if I could. I can't. I've tried and tried and tried and still working on it. But I like the song. But I'm going to pass on it. I got 3 points. Here's my first point in this passage of Scripture. I'm not going to go just line upon line, but I'm going to stay within the context of the Scripture. Point number one is the problem in this passage. Notice I did not say the problem with this passage. If you got a problem with the Bible, you got major problems. Did you hear what I said? I don't understand it all. I can't even begin to comprehend it all. There's so much stuff that I know that I don't understand about the Bible. But it's the Bible. Now, there's never been a time in my life that I didn't believe the Bible was the Word of God. But listen to me, I'm trying to help you with something. There has been a time in my life I didn't believe the Bible.
Right. Right.
You understand now what I'm saying? There's never been a time in my life that I did not believe the Bible was the Word of God. In fact, the King James Bible, I never even had a problem with the King James Bible all of my life. The Bible. But there was a time I didn't believe the Bible. Upon regeneration, God doing a supernatural work by the Holy Ghost in my dead heart, I was able to believe the gospel. Now, here's the problem in the passage, and the problem is darkness. That's what we've been delivered from. Now, listen, if darkness was not a problem, we wouldn't need to be delivered from it. But it is a problem. It's a major problem in our world today. The problem with most of our churches is darkness has pervaded. There is a problem, and the problem is darkness. This is what the Bible says about the darkness. Now, listen, I'm going to read to you from the book of John, chapter number 3. And you can argue with this if you like. That's up to you. But here's what the Bible says, and you're going to have to deal with it sooner or later. Here's what the Bible said. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love the darkness rather than light. And by the way, the light that's come into the world was the Lord Jesus Christ. I haven't got time to get into all of that because all of you know that. But the problem is, darkness pervades. And it's still here. And our world's getting darker and darker. We come over here Sunday afternoon. We just left where we was in Arkansas and got here in town for church. That was our plan. And come over here Sunday afternoon. And then we got to come back again last night. Boy, what a blessing both times were. But we got here and my wife said, "Boy, it's darker up there behind the pulpit." And I said, "Yeah, we got here yesterday. It's still daylight. You could see the light through that window. But when we got here yesterday evening, it was getting, the sun had begun to set down, and it wasn't nearly as light coming through that window." And that's what it is. The light that's come through the light that's come into the world is the Lord Jesus Christ. And the problem is, men love darkness rather than light. And here's the reason men love darkness rather than light. Because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil, now listen to this, hateth the light. Neither cometh to the light, that his deeds should be reproved. Now, that's a problem. I don't know if you understand that or not, but that's a major problem. Let me give you another little example from the Bible. And I was just hurrying through this because I want you to understand some things that the Bible teaches us, what we've been delivered from. Look with me at the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter number 4. This is a favorite passage of mine. Chapter number 4, verse number 3. "But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost." In whom? Now, the whom are the lost. Now, listen to me. Every person that's ever come into this world this way. Lost and doomed. And the light is hid. The gospel is hid to them. And the reason it's hid to them is because the God of this world has their minds blinded. Now, I don't know a whole lot. And I understand that. But I know this. When you're blind, there's no light. Some of you people might know the enlighteners. I think Brother Tom knows the enlighteners. A couple of blind ladies. This is what they told me, Brother Tom, whenever they first came to our church, they flew out here. And my wife and I picked them up. She said, "You can tell us we're the ones who are vertically challenged. They're not overly weight. They're just vertically challenged. The little short girls, big rent, blind as a bat. I didn't know what to do with them. I didn't know. I didn't know how to take care of them. Were they going to stay at our church? I didn't know what to do with it. So I enlisted my baby girl, who was just out of high school, maybe just getting into college, and my granddaughter, who was in a senior in high school, to come and stay with those girls and take care of them. And when I left, I said, "Y'all want me to leave the lights on for you?" And that's what they said. What difference does it make? You know, when you're blind, you can't see. There's no light. Now, I don't know what you understand about darkness, but that means it's the absence of light. There's no light when it's dark. And that's the problem that we see in men time today. That was your problem. Sometimes, in some areas, it's still our problem. Some darkness begins to pervade. Here's what my good friend Johnny Carter was preaching to us the other day. When the Word of God comes in, when the Word of God impenetrates and comes into your heart and life and gets in there, here's what happens. That much darkness has to go. The presence of Thy Word causes the darkness to leave.
Yes.
And that's what it's all about. People do not believe the Bible. That's why we got so many different perverted versions. People do not believe the Word of God. They will not receive the Word of God. And they don't. And it's not because they can't understand it. Let me give you an example of that. When I was working in Houston, I was a supervisor over contract construction. We build bridges. I work for the Harris County Flood Control District. We build bridges. And here's what the state law requires. When you close a road, especially when you're going to take out a bridge, but when you close a road, period, wherever you close a road, here's what the state law requires, that you put up a sign and a barricade 1,500 feet from where the road is closed. This is what it says. Bridge out. Road closed. Do not pass. Now, 500 feet farther down the road, this is what the state law requires. You put up another sign that says, bridge out, road closed, do not pass at 1,000 feet. And then another 500 feet, here's what the law requires. This is the law now. Requires that you put up, and if you've got one lane or two lanes, whatever it is, you've got barricades all the way across, signs, bridge out, road closed, do not pass. And then there at the project, just when you get to the project, there's the final sign that says, road out. A bridge out, road closed, do not pass. And I'm standing there one day with the job superintendent, me and the inspector that's under my charge. And we're standing there, and this car comes pulling up, right up to that last barricade, Brother Ron. And two elderly ladies were in the car. One of them rolls down the window, sweet little lady. She says, can we cross here? And I turned to my inspector. I said, of course, I knew what was going on. But I said to him, when's the last time you checked those signs? Because that's his job to make sure that stuff is up there. See, we're the owners, so we're responsible for that. Of course, I knew they was up. And he said, they're up. Then I turned to the lady and I said, ma'am, 1,500 feet back there, there was a sign that says, bridge. Did you see that? Oh, yeah, I saw it. 1,000 feet, there was another sign. Did you see it? Oh, yeah, I saw it. 500 feet, there's another sign. I said, did you not see that sign? Oh, yeah, I saw it. But what does this sign say? Bridge out. I said, don't you believe that? And she didn't have a problem. Now, listen to me. She said, yeah, I knew the signs was there, but I just didn't know whether we could cross or not. Here's the problem. Now, listen. You don't have a problem understanding what the Bible says. You have a problem believing what the Bible says. Now, here's the reason. Here's the reason you have a problem believing what the Bible said is because there's no light. And by the way, when we get ready to preach, if we're not, this idea of just going back to the well and going back to the well, it runs dry. Here's what we need to do. We need to get in the study. That's what the apostle said. It's not for us to go wait tables. We got to get in here and prayer and study of the Word of God. We got to dig. This is hard work. Especially for somebody like myself, Brother Don Smith. This is hard work. When you don't have the intellectual capacity in the first place, why would God call me to preach? I don't know. But He did. And so it's my responsibility. I got to get in here and dig and hope I can get some light. Because the problem is darkness. There's a second problem that I find in the text. Skip down to verse number 21 in Colossians chapter number 1. I don't just see darkness. I see depravity. Now watch this. Verse number 21a is what the Bible said. And you that were sometimes, now listen to this, alienated and enemies. Isn't that interesting? In your mind, by wicked works. Unconverted people who's not been delivered from darkness don't have just a simple problem with just darkness. They hate the Lord Jesus Christ. They're mad at Him. They are enemies of Him. Here's what the Bible teaches us in the book of Romans. The carnal mind is not subject to the law of God. Neither can be. In fact, they're at enmity with God. Now that I don't know Greek from nothing else. But in English, that means they are mad at him. Hello? We got a problem in this world today among religion people. And the problem is not that they don't mind, is not religion. The problem is they are in depravity. Listen to me. I took a seminary class from Dallas Theological Seminary. Did I say that right? Dallas. And the reason it's on the book of John, brother. And the reason I took it was because some of my friends on Facebook kept saying how much they liked it, So I took it. They suggested I send them $100. And I did, by the way. Got their commentary for a $19 commentary for $100. Well, maybe I've overrated the commentary. I don't know. And I took the class. It was a 12 or 14 week class. I can't remember. Like, over the internet, by email, every week I took the class and aced it until we got to that chapter in the book of John where the angel stirred the water. And there were several questions, and of course there was always multiple choices for the answers. And of course, when it got to that, one of the questions was, do you just automatically believe the King James Bible, or do you search this out to see if this is really true? And I don't know what the other choices were, but it wasn't that. Do you understand what I'm saying? But you know which choice I put in. And there was five or six questions. I got all the other questions right, but they marked that one wrong. You know what I did? I quit. Why would you do that? Let me ask you a question. Why would I sit under anybody that's trying to teach me that my Bible's not true? Hello. Hey, I know I need light. I know I need some understanding, but I don't have to go outside the Word of God to get it. You understand what I'm saying to you? We got the Word of God, the Scriptures, and the Holy Ghost to teach us what God says. And we don't have to go anywhere else to get our information. Now, people who do know me a little bit found out that I can't hardly preach without Ron Lovin's outlines. I didn't have that problem until somebody gave me his book. In fact, I had them for 3 or 4 years before I ever looked at them. I don't know if y'all know it or not, but he's got several in print. He's got them on the five single chapters in the Bible. I forgot what he called it, but let's see. Forgotten truths on forsaken, I don't know, something like it. There you go. See, he remembers. I preached every one of them boogers at home. Of course, now I didn't say this is mine. I told every one of them this. I got this, brother. I'm using Brother Ron. I may have to adjust it a little bit, modify it a little bit. But nonetheless, but you don't have to go outside the Word of God to get your light. I just found out, Brother Tom. I don't know why I just found out. He said he had that with him down at my place the last couple of years. I don't know why I didn't say the book of Amos. I said, I'm mad at you. He said, why? I said, I'm just now finding out the guy Amos. I'm in chapter 7. And I'm just now finding his book on it. Well, anyway. But you don't have to go. Here's the light. And anybody that gets away from the Word of God, does not believe the Word of God, has a major problem. And it's because they are at enmity with God. Cannot be subject because of their depravity. And there's a whole lot of other stuff that goes with depravity. We understand that. We're very clear about that. You can read about it in Romans 3, verse 9 through 18. You can read about it in 1 John chapter 5, verse number 19. You can read about it in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 2 and 3. And I just alluded to Romans 8, verse 7 and 8. Those things are real and true. That's the problem in this text. But I'm going to give you the protagonist in this passage. A friend of mine says this about English. He went to the same high school I went to, several years ahead of me. And this is what he said. He's from Arkansas, by the way. He said, I went down there to Texas and went to high school. And they had some good English teachers, and they did their very best to teach us English. But me and Brother Barney, we bested them. We wouldn't learn. I don't know much about English, but I read something and I found out what this word means. Let me tell you what it means. It means the main character of a drama, movie, novel or some other fictional story. And I looked that up in the dictionary. I just like to say the word protagonist. I heard somebody else say that, and I just liked it. So I just started learning how to say it. And I figured if I was going to say it, I ought to look it up and see what it means. Now, in this passage of Scripture, there are three protagonists, the main characters. Now, this is what I like to say. Now, I've come to this conclusion in my own understanding of some things. The Bible is really not about us and our salvation. Now, you find salvation in it. Throughout the Scripture, salvation is in there. Brother Tom alluded to that the other night. But the protagonist of the Bible is not the sinner, but the Savior. And there's three aspects of it. You can find it right here. There's three aspects of it. We already mentioned this. Look, go back to verse number 12. Giving thanks unto the Father. Are you listening to me? Which hath made us meet to be partakers. Isn't that interesting? I wonder why it says it like that. Well, I can explain it to you to some degree. Because you were unfit to be partakers.
Yes.
In the inheritance with the saints.
Absolutely.
When you came here unfit. We like the Gideons too, Brother Smith. We have the Gideons in our church every year. We go to their banquets every year. We support the Gideons. We give a pretty healthy sum of money to buy Bibles. Because we believe Bibles is what needs to be placed in places where people can get hold of them. I've heard testimony after testimony where Gideon Bibles, just the Bibles alone, God's used them to do a marvelous work in people's hearts and lives, prevent suicides and all kinds of stuff. So we do that. But one of the Gideons one time was in our church, and he was done through and on his way out. We had a little fella in our church talking about him, a little angel. And I said, no, sir, he's not an angel. No, he's not. And he's a good kid, by the way. The young boys, those, Brother David can tell you about the young boys. He was the youngest of the young boys. But those are the best kids I've ever met in my life. The most well-behaved, most courteous, most generous. That I never heard them talk back to their parents. Never heard them even arguing with their parents when the parents told them to do something. Made them quit doing what they was really wanting to do. They never said, I'm not through. Never. None of that stuff. But he said the little boy was an angel. And I said, no, sir, he's not an angel. And this is what he said. By the way, he wasn't an angel. And that ain't all. He's not ever going to get to be an angel. When he dies and go to heaven, he's not an angel. He won't be an angel. No, he's just not an angel. Now, he wasn't a bad kid, but he wasn't an angel. But this is what he said. He said, well, somebody got to teach him to do wrong. I said, oh, no. Oh, no, listen to me. If he's not doing wrong, here's the reason. Y'all listen to what I'm fixing to tell you now. If he's not doing wrong, here's the reason he's not doing wrong now. Is because his mom and daddy has worked hard in training him up in the way he should go. And here's what the Bible tells you, fathers, if you'll just listen to what it says. Fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture. Nurture, that means give them some nutritious stuff, spiritual stuff, in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. No, he's not an angel. He has to be taught. Well, listen, he had to be made.
Yes. Sure did.
If one of them young boys has come to know Christ, one of them come during a meeting one time, said during the church service, he said, Brother Barney, Caleb trusted the Lord last night. He wants to make it public. And, of course, we did that. We didn't have an invitation system, not opposed to it, but we did that, and I asked him, son, whatever made you think you needed to be saved? I'm telling you, they were good kids. He said, it was something you said. I said, what did I say? He said, you said that I was a dirty, rotten, stinking sinner who deserved to die and go to hell. And he came to that conclusion. So he had to be made. And it's the Father who did that. Now, when you read Ephesians chapter number 1, the first, verses 3 through 6, you'll find out that we're made acceptable. And the reason we have to be made acceptable is because we come here unacceptable. There's a second person in the protagonist. That would be the Son of God, the preeminent God. Not just the patron God, but the preeminent God. You can find that in verse 13b and 15 through 18. My, I wish I had time. Here's what it says. He hath translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son, who is the image of the invisible God. Now, what does an invisible God look like? What Jesus looked like. Did I miss that? You know what I really believe? Off all of my heart, this is what I really believe. I really believe Jesus was just as invisible as God was until He could become incarnate. And upon His incarnation, He'll never be invisible again. Isn't that interesting? But this is what's going on. This is the protagonist in this passage. This is what the main characters are. No, it's not about us.
No.
It's about the Lord. It's about God the Father and God the Son. And these are two explicit. The implicit's not mentioned, but you can find it in 1 John 5, verse number 7. And I love 1 John 5, verse number 7. I love it because every other perverted version ever written leaves it out. Of all things, with the exception of the New King James Version, and they make a footnote and said it ought not be in there. Now you spell ought not, O-R-T. Can you feature that? Did you know that's the only verse in the entire Bible that specifically states that the triune Godhead is the Trinity? There's not another verse in there. Oh, that verse is teaching. I didn't say it didn't teach it. I said another one. Why would I could explain to you why they leave that out. Because they don't believe God in the first place.
No.
Look out. That bothers me than some of these whiz guys go to the ESV rather than the King James Version. Or the Standard Bible, whatever they call that, NASV. They don't even leave, they even take the last half of Romans 8 verse 1 out. There's therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Who? Starting at who, they leave that out. They don't know who does what anymore because they don't believe that stuff. Give me a major break. Here's a protagonist. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. It is He. And we read about Him in the real Bible. The Holy Spirit gives us an understanding. Now here's the deliverance. Here's what He has delivered us from. The power of darkness. Who was it? I like it. I don't know who it was. We're no longer under the bondage of sin. I couldn't make up my mind what to preach. I started to preach on true liberty. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Here's true liberty. We're no longer under. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty. Wherewith Christ, what's this, hath made us free. Be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. We're the only people in the entire world, all over the world, the whole world, that has the liberty to not sin. And the only reason we have the liberty to not sin is because we have been delivered from darkness. Here's my third and final point, and that's perseverance. It's in this passage. There are at least three things that are very important to me. And perseverance. It's already been mentioned. I'm not spending time here. It's peace. 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 Wonderful peace. Oh, yeah. A peace that the world knows nothing about. It's a peace that passes understanding. Pass it. Yeah. And we've got it right here. In the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, listen. There's a vast amount of difference between peace and happiness. A friend of mine one time passed a little church down the road from me. He's gone, been gone. There's been several pastors since then, where I'm at almost 29 years. Pastor little church down the road from me, and he called me one day and just lamented. He said, all I know is I'm not happy. I said, what has happy got to do with anything? What will it take to make you happy? That's what they ask people going to work. You know, the headhunters, isn't that what they call them? Trying to get people to leave one company and come to another. What would it take to make you happy? Money. Listen, what would it take to make you happy? Forget about being happy. Why don't you just have peace?
Oh, Lord.
By the way, that comes through tribulation. Well, it does. That's what the Bible's teaching us through here. Over. In fact, it just says that. You can look in Romans chapter number 5 and find that out. It's just true. And there's presentation. I like the presentation part, brother. Here's what it says. Let me read this. I'm through. I'm almost finished. I don't remember what time I started. I apologize. But I'm almost finished. Listen to this. What he says in Titus chapter number 2. I love verse number 11 and following. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness, worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for us. Now watch this. That He might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto Himself a peculiar people. Zealous. Jude says we're going to be presented spotless. Can you feature that? Wow, what a blessing. And there's the perseverance, if you will. I find that in verse number 23 in our text. Did you see that? Let me read that to you one more time. If. What if you don't? Then you ain't. Can I say that again? That's what my friend Brother Dr. Ivory Campbell said. Let me drag it to you one more time. What if you don't persevere? What if you don't continue? Then you ain't one of his children. That's pretty simple. But thank God, listen to me. He has given us both the unction from the Holy One and the anointing that abides in us, that keeps us persevering. Therefore, there's the preservation. Thank you, Brother Ron.
Amen.